Welcome back to The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Lawmakers were back at Legislative Hall this week as a new session of Delaware's General Assembly convened. And center stage, commanding the spotlight, was the budget. The state faces a projected $350 million deficit for the coming fiscal year, and departing Governor Jack Markell is the first to take a swing at filling that hole. He offered his final spending plan this week, a $4.1 billion budget that uses a combination of tax hikes and spending cuts to bridge the gap. And the list of those asked to take a hit includes seniors, county governments, state workers, and school districts. As far as conversation starters go, this one definitely got people buzzing. And there to break down the numbers and get the initial reaction was our political reporter, James Dawson, who joins us now to help sort through all this. James, thanks for being with us.
Always great to be here, Tom.
Well, let's start with the premise of Markell's plan. Is it fair to call this kind of a truth bomb of sorts? Everyone seems to agree there's tough choices coming. So the guy who doesn't have to stick around to make those choices offers the ugly truth about what needs to be done.
Yeah, I think it's definitely fair to say that. I mean, when I spoke with House Minority Leader Danny Short on Thursday, he called it a budget that says, quote, if I were governor forever, this is what I would do, and I don't have any opposition from anybody. So neither party likes what they're seeing in this plan, but they're going to have to follow it or some other variation unless Governor-elect John Carney comes up with some other radical ideas or we see an uptick in revenue.
And there is some really tough stuff to swallow in this plan. It eliminates the senior property tax credit, dramatically restructures public worker health benefits for those with less than 10 years tenure, hikes a handful of taxes to raise $216 million. It also takes chunks of cash from the county's realty transfer revenue, which usually helps them fund public safety.
Sure does.
And asks school districts to absorb a bigger share of the cost of transporting students. All of these things are going to face resistance. But based on the people you talked to this week, which ones do you see as really just DOA, and which ones may actually get some conversation going?
Yeah, it's really tough to say because there's such a visceral reaction to all of these. There are slight differences, though, that I noticed from when Markell proposed a couple of these plans a year ago. So some lawmakers told me the senior property tax credit could go, but only if they included some kind of means testing. And that would involve setting some kind of income cutoff so wealthier people, maybe at the beaches, who don't need the $500, they don't get it, and it goes to those who would have trouble affording it otherwise. The changes to employee health benefits might also be a go, but again, not in its current form. Last year, no one even wanted to touch it, but now some are reluctantly willing to take a look at it, I'd say.
House Speaker Pete Schwarzkopf told you, quote, I don't like the expression kick the can down the road, but I'm tired of doing it year after year. We have structural financial revenue problems. We need to fix them, unquote. But Schwarzkopf and the Democrats have controlled the General Assembly, admittedly with declining margins, for a number of years now and have, in fact, turned to one-time dollars often to kick the can down the road. Now they face the prospect of having to negotiate more with Republicans to get anything done. Did they miss an opportunity in recent years to do some big things, to address some of these things? And is it inherently tougher now to get any of these things done?
Well, if by big things you mean making these structural changes like altering tax rates across the board, eliminating some altogether, yes, definitely. A state report came out in 2015 that outlined all of these changes. But by that time, Democrats in the Senate had lost their supermajority. So who knows whether they could have gotten a Republican, just a single one,
sure,
to help them at that time. And that puts things like the insurance changes, repealing the estate tax, heftier spending cuts into play if the budget numbers remain where they are.
And I guess the question I have is, because of the landscape as it stands right now, is the goal, particularly say with something like state worker benefits, realizing you're going to have to do something with it, but trying to find maybe a middle ground, maybe Markell by maybe reaching back 10 years, maybe you say, okay, maybe we go back to what he originally proposed, just new workers. And he kind of created a way for them to present something terrible and then walk it back a little bit.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's a strong negotiating tactic that anyone in business or politics is going to tell you. That's how you do it. You set the goal way far down the field, and then you come to about the middle. And I think that is represented by the bipartisan talks that are going to come here later in January among the leaders of all four caucuses and Governor-elect John Carney, I think that signals that, yeah, they're serious. They want to try and get something done because they realize the situation isn't that rosy.
You mentioned the Governor-elect John Carney. Where is he in all this? When can we expect to see him to start to dive in with his ideas? He's talked broadly about a budget reset. Do we have any inkling of what that means?
Right. So that's the big unknown. Like you said, he sent out a statement Thursday saying it's time for that budget reset and that his team will be carefully reviewing the proposal. Other than that, it's like he's still on the campaign trail, not trying to offend anyone. But that said, the snippets that we have seen, he's open to things like making the healthcare changes, raise taxes or cut spending. But it's not clear what he would do specifically. He's also going to be involved, like I mentioned, with legislative leadership talks when he's inaugurated. From what I'm told, we should have a better understanding of his thoughts on the budget by the spring, maybe late March, early April.
So realistically, he and his administration are going to take a look at what JFC does at the end of the month into February and maybe use that as kind of the baseline of where they start working on things.
Yep, that's what I've heard.
Well, I do want to say this too. I mean, and we've kind of intimated it a couple of times already in this conversation. A lot of these ideas are not new. Governor Markell has suggested some before, maybe slightly different. They were largely ignored. And he said at those times, you know, it would only get worse if lawmakers waited. Is there a bit of I told you so here in the Markell budget?
Yeah, maybe a bit. But I also think it's indicative of the fact that the state of Delaware pays for a lot of programs or services that are typically funded by local governments in other states. So we're talking things like jails. Delaware doesn't have any jails. You go to a separate part of a prison before your trial or any sort of court proceedings. Road maintenance, that's a big one. TLDOT covers, you know, I think 90-some percent of all roads in Delaware,
yep.
Right? And then paramedic services and other things. So highlighting these truths isn't pleasant, but maybe it'll be enough to get some kind of substantive change done, but who knows?
And finally, a lot of doom and gloom in this conversation. Any positive stories, anecdotes as we get set for John Carney's inauguration next week?
So Markell says he officially signed up for his post office cross country bike tour that starts in June. He told us at his last press conference he needs to get in better shape to ride the couple thousand miles across the country. Both chambers also honored him Thursday afternoon with most of the legislators giving some kind of speech. Even his let's just say people who don't typically like him, John Kowalko gave him a hug. Representative John Kowalko gave him a hug. And they usually talked about how he remembered to call them on their birthdays, gave tours of Woodburn to their families. And even when Representative Dave Wilson got into a car accident a couple years ago, I didn't know this, but apparently the governor was at his hospital bedside within an hour of that happening. So there was a lot of motion in the building, even though the outgoing governor has been fairly hands-off in the legislature, but apparently not so much behind the scenes.
All right. James Dawson, thanks for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And remember, you can keep up with all of James Dawson's coverage of politics here in the First State online anytime at DelawarePublic.org. And stick around. We have a conversation with the lawyer for Jeremy McDowell's family after a court this week okayed the settlement reached in the family's lawsuit against Wilmington over the 2015 shooting of McDowell by city police officers. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.